श्री राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजना, 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 जमुना तीर वनचारी, जमुना तीर वनचारी, जमुना तीर वनचारी, जमुना तीर वनचारी,
Pad Paramahamsa Paravijagacharya Stotra Shata Shri Shrimad Shila Abhay Charanaran Bhakti Vedanta Sai Maharaj Shila Prabhupad Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Nama Acharya Shila Thakur Haridas Ki Jai Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadeep Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Devi Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Rani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Hri Nama Sankirtana Ki Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Samsthapak Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balarama Ki Jai Shri Shri Lalita Vishaka Sahita Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai Go Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jayamudirayet. Nashta praisho bhadresho. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavatyuttama shloke. Bhaktir bhavati naishthiki. Krishne swadhamo pagate. Dhanamagnana dipisaha. Kalau nashta drishamesha. Puranarko dhunodita. Hare Krishna. It is November 25th, 2023. We're sitting in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. What do we know of Sri Vrindavan Dham without Srila Prabhupada? So we're studying the 10th canto, chapter 47. And today we've been asked to discuss texts 62 and 63. These are the concluding verses of Uddhava's statement, his prayer, really, and we'll see what he says today. So kindly repeat. Yes, this is text 62. Ya vai shriya arshitam ajadibhihi aptakamaihi yogeshwaraihi api yat atmani rasa goshtyam krishnasya tad bhagavatah charanaravindam nyastam stanesho vijoho paridabhya tapam yavai shri arshitam ajadirivaptakamaihi Yogeshwaraira piyadatmani rasa goshtyam. Krishnasya tad bhagavatah charanaravindam. Nyastam staneshu dvijahu parirabhyatapam. Anyone else? Yavai Sri Archita Majadirabhata Kamaihi. Yogeshwaraira Piyadatmani Rasa Goshtyam. Krishnasya Tad Bhagavata Charanaravindam. Nistam staneshu vijahu parirabhyatapam. In the interest of time, I'm going to just give the word-for-word sentiments. Yaha, who, the gopis, vai, indeed, shriya, by the goddess of fortune, arshitam, worshipped, aja, by the unborn Brahma, Adibhihi and other demigods. Aptakamehi, who have already realized all desires. Yoga Ishwarehi, masters of mystic power. Api, even though. Yet, which, Atmani, in the mind. Rasa Goshtyam. I'm sorry. Rasa of the Rasa dance. Goshtyam, in the gathering. Krishnasya of Lord Krishna. Tad, those. Bhagavataha of the Supreme Lord. Charana Aravindam, the lotus feet. Nyastam, placed. Staneshu, on their breasts. Vijaho, they gave up. Parirabhya, by embracing. Tapam, their torment. The goddess of fortune herself, along with Lord Brahma and all the other demigods who are masters of yogic perfection, can worship the lotus feet of Krishna only within her mind. But during the rasa dance, Lord Krishna placed his feet upon these gopis' breasts, and by embracing those feet, the gopis gave up all distress. There is no purport, and we're asked to speak on the next verse, so I'm going to move ahead. If we have time, maybe we can return to this and say a few words, but in deference to my seniors who chose for whatever reason not to comment, there is no BBT purport to this verse. Although there's a lot of commentary by major Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas, they chose not to publish it, so I will do likewise. Let's go to text number 63. Vande Nandavrajaha Strinam Pararenam Abhikshnashaha Yasam Harikathodgitam Punati Bhavanatrayam Vande Nanda Vraja Srinam Padarenum Abhikshmashaha Yasam Harikathod Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam. Anyone else? Vande Nanda Vraja Srinam Padarenum Abhikshnashaha Punati Bhuvanatrayam. A lot of people. Vande, I offer my respects. Nandavraja of the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Srinam of the women. Pada of the feet. Renum to the dust. Abhikshnashaha, perpetually. Yasam, whose. Hari of Lord Krishna. Katha, about the topics. Udgitam, loud chanting. Punati, purifies. Bhuvanatrayam, the three worlds. I repeatedly offer my respects to the dust from the feet of the women of Nanda Maharaja's cowherd village. When these gopis loudly chant the glories of Sri Krishna, the vibration purifies the three worlds. Let's repeat this. I repeatedly offer my respects to the dust from the feet of the women of Nanda Maharaja's cowherd village. When these gopis loudly chant the glories of Sri Krishna, the vibration purifies the three worlds. There is a purport here by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Uddhava, having established the glories of the gopis in the previous verses, now directly offers his obeisances to them. According to the Sri Vaishnava Toshini, Sri Uddhava did not offer such respect even to Lord Krishna's queens in Dwaraka. Om Jnana Timanantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Uttaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Madgavira Vigopala Svi Kuryat Kripaya Yadita Vaivasam Payaha Pitva Krishyayustat Priyajanaha. These are some famous verses, all of these verses that every one of them that Uddhava has been reciting. They're a very most elevated topic also. Very widely quoted throughout Srila Prabhupada's books and by all of our predecessor acharyas. This is also the most elevated subject matter, and I have to apologize in advance because I'm not the most qualified person to speak on these things. But I'm praying for all of your blessings that maybe I can say something that's worthwhile despite my flaws. So, the first two-sentence purport we have. The first one is paraphrasing Sridhar Swami's commentary. That's all he says. The second one is, as Vaishnava Toshini, those of you know Jiva Goswami wrote, Laghu Vaishnava Toshini. So he's paraphrasing his conclusion in that commentary. So Sanatan Goswami has said quite a few things about this verse, which we can try to share. Uddhava was thinking, I'm completely unqualified for such direct service to the Lord, so I will simply offer my respects to the gopis in order to attain some bhava that's similar to theirs. Different people have different opinions about this. Yesterday we heard that he was not praying like this. Today we hear that he is. Or we can see it that he says, what qualification do I have to sing the glories of these persons, such persons? I simply should offer my respects to even one particle of their foot dust, which has fallen somewhere in Vrindavan. I offer respects to the feet of the women of Braj, what to speak of those women who are dearest to him. In other words, Nanda Vrajastrinam, it's plural. And the reason it's plural is because he wants to respect all of them. Radharani, of course, is the best, but he's feeling himself so Uddhava has had a major epiphany at this point. He's really realized it. You know, Krishna has sent me here to console these people, but actually I think maybe Krishna sent me here to learn something. So he's really had his mind and intelligence completely recalibrated by this experience. So he just wants to offer his respectful obeisance under the dust of all these gopis. Because all the Vraja women are related to these gopis, I offer respects to all of them. Then he says, by their loud singing, Udgitam, the topics of the Lord, who is all attractive, purify the entire universe. All contaminations, all the way up to liberation, that's also considered a contamination, evidently. We've heard previously in the last chapter, you may recall, Udgayati nam aravinda lochanam vrajangananam divam asprishad dhvanihi darhnashta nirmanthana shabda mishrito nirasyate yena dishama mangalam. There also it was stated that as the ladies of Vraja loudly sang the glories of lotus-eyed Krishna, their songs blended with the sound of their churning, ascended to the sky, and dissipated all inauspiciousness in every direction. We can say something about this in a few moments, but I'll just note here that the third book of the Hari Bhakti Vilas, text number 26, enjoins devotees to chant this verse first thing in the morning, when you wake up, after rising, before dawn, just to remember something auspicious at that hour, because it's at that hour that the gopis are doing this, mainly. Churning butter happens early in the morning. So this is all implied here by the word Udgitam. This is Sanatana Goswami's note about that. Another way to look at it is Hari Kathavad Udgitam Yasam Utchaihi. They sang loudly as we do in Sankirtana because it's described. When they're churning butter, what happens? What noise is produced? It's rhythmic, isn't it? It sounds a little bit like kartals. Why? Because they've all got so many, what do you call these things? Churiyan. Glass bangles. You know, they've done some archaeological digs in like Pakistan, northwest areas, you know, really old things. And they have found shards of these same churiyan that women still buy in the bazaar today. Glass bangles. From how long ago? About 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. That's what I call cultural continuity. Why? Why such extreme conservatism, you may ask? It's something to think about. Even in 2023, they're still wearing these things, although in general we see people are trying to throw every tradition out the window as fast as they possibly can, because they're so madly intoxicated by modern, Western culture, you can call it that, of sense gratification. Actually, culture in Hindi, ka matlab hai kya? Culture ka matlab kya hai Hindi mein? Culture. Sanskriti. Our Sanskriti ka matlab kya hai? Somebody who becomes Sanskrita, purified, that person has Sanskriti. Sanskrita means something that's been, like a book is samskaranam, right? Editing the book. It's not just rough anymore. It's been refined. Refinement. Refinement means Krishna consciousness, actually. So there is no culture outside of Krishna consciousness. There is no such thing. They can call it whatever they want and they do, but that's another matter. Anyway, don't want to get off track here. They're churning with their bangles jangling and it's producing, what is that? Karatalas. And so naturally, they want to sing. And how do they sing? They sing Hari Katha. We'll return to this in a moment. So this is one way to look at it. They're loudly singing, like in Sankirtana. Or they loudly sang compositions, Nibbadha, in glorification of the Lord. Mahatmya Ganam Mahatmya Nibbadham Uchayar Gitam Va, Sanatana Goswami says. Or their singing was itself Harikatha. But Uddhava thought, it's my duty to sing their glories. Yadva yasam udgitam eva harikatha ityasam mahatmya ganam eva mama krityam. So, Uddhava thought also, I don't have any fear of committing an offense to the Yadus by staying too long here in Vraj. Because they like him in Dwarka as well. I associate with them, directly glorifying them and offering them respects. Although he is directly meeting the gopis, he expresses himself indirectly with Nandavrajastrinam to indicate their great position. Or he speaks indirectly out of respect. Either way. He's just... Have you noticed? It was mentioned yesterday also. We keep getting pronouns. Indirect demonstrative pronouns. Not clear who he's referring to. Them. Of these, you know, he's not so, doesn't want to be so direct for several reasons, because another thing is that this is very, very confidential. Very confidential. So he's careful about that. Just like we've been singing in the Damodarashtakam, Sanatana Goswami also there says very similar things. Why this Ananta Lila Deva, the God of unlimited pastimes. What does it mean? The God of unlimited pastimes. We offer respects. Number one, he has unlimited pastimes, of which Ras Lila is the best. Or, even within the Ras Lila, there are unlimited things that happen there. We can say more about that in a moment. Anyway. So he's indirectly offering his obeisances here with the words Nande, Vande, Nandavrajastrinam to indicate their great position. Another thing he's conscious of is that if I glorify these cowherd girls, they think they're just cowherd girls. All the most advanced devotees, they just think they're ordinary people. They don't even consider themselves very special. And these gopis are exemplars of that. So if Uddhava started to glorify the gopis directly, what would they think? They would become very uncomfortable. He doesn't want to do that. He's extremely sensitive. He's a diplomat, Uddhava. Very highly trained. One of Krishna's chief advisors. So, words like eta and asam in other verses are used to indicate proximity to them or to indicate that they are always present in his heart and he can perceive them directly. This is Sanatana Goswami's commentary. Jiva Goswami adds to this that I should just offer their obeisances unto all these other women as well, not just Srimati Radhai and her friends, but all of them, since they're also of similar type. But I'll not approach them directly. And he spoke some more things. And Jiva Goswami also quotes the same verse which we've already mentioned. The famous Udgayati Nam Aravinda Lochanam. That's 10th canto, chapter 46, text 46. So, he also says that the loud singing of topics about Krishna, especially topics relating to the gopis, out of great bhava, this purifies the three worlds. We all have a heart disease. What's it called? Kama. Hridroga kama. And this kama, the worst disease, it can kill you spiritually if you're not careful. So, but it's purified by hearing about the gopis. It's like we're chanting every evening, Gopi Gitam. Why? Because the separation that they feel is indicative of the tremendous love that they have. And we can't even understand it. We don't know what love is. There is no love in this world, actually. It's all a mutual sort of, you know, paraspara exploitation in this world. Real love of the kind that these gopis exhibited, we don't find it in these three worlds. And that's why their love purifies these three worlds. Every narration about them purifies these three worlds. He's thinking, Uddhava is thinking. Because it removes all other bhavas that might be possible. Everybody has some bhava. What kind of bhava do you have? For most of us, it's bhava bhava. Adirasa bhava. The bhava of material sense gratification in this mundane realm. That's an opposing, or at best it's an indifferent bhava. And Jiva Goswami says, these other bhavas, they have to be removed. And they're removed most effectively by this Sankirtana. Glorification of the Lord, especially with his most beloved devotees. So that's his contribution to this discussion. Mad bhakti yukto bhuvanam punati. This is from 11th canto, chapter 14, text 24. Devotee fixed in loving service to me purifies the entire universe, Krishna said elsewhere. So on this subject, Vyas and others have given their conclusion that among all the devotees of Krishna are the best because Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. And how did Prabhupada translate this? One of his shibboleths we can find throughout his books. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jamal Krishna Goswami said this was Srila Prabhupada's Mahavakya. It was his purpose to awaken the world to this. We can know this from Laghu Bhagavatamartam especially, which proves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, so among these devotees who are worshipping Swayam Bhagavan, the associates in his pastimes are the best, and among those, the intimate associates are the best, since others follow them. Among these, Uddhava is the best. We keep hearing this in this passage. The glories of Uddhava are just as important for us as the glories of the gopis. And then he gives all of his evidence. Quote after quote after quote. Why does he do this? He does it for the same reason that Srila Prabhupada does it. If you're going to make any assertion about Krishna consciousness, you have to justify that. You have to back it up. You can't just speak off the top of your head or your intuition or your sentiments. No. This is a science. And Prabhupada and his predecessors have exemplified what it means to be austere in our speech. Anybody know from chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita, text 15? What is it? Anadvega karam vakyam? Jorse. Yes, Krishna says, to recite Vedic literature is part of this. Just like we talk about Lila Smaranam, a big topic here in Vrindavan, or more generally Vishnu Smaranam. One way to effect this, Vishnu Smaranam, you remember verses, you learn them, you recite them, and then they're kanchastha, as we say. They're ready on your tongue when you need to back up whatever you're saying. The other day, and I hate to say this, in Mathura we went to one college. So one boy raised his hand. He's from a Goswami family here, Nityananda Parivar, in fact. So he's raising his hand to ask a question. He was not ashamed. Who exactly is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Another girl, she had her question she was afraid to ask, but I urged them to challenge even. So she said, do you really think people are going to accept all this? How out of touch can you be? 8,000 people went to Govardhan Hill just the other day. Young people from all over the country. They made some special effort. 20 temples in the last decade or so have opened in Delhi alone. How many? I'm seeing this, you know, spread like wildfire, especially in India. And she's so out of touch that she's thinking, do you really think people can accept this? Anyway, we have a lot of work to do. We have to also purify the three worlds with this Harikatha that Srila Prabhupada has bequeathed upon us. Because who else is going to do it? Who else even cares? Govinda Ganamritaihi. It's described by Srinivasa Acharya that the Goswamis, they poured upon the Vaishnava community transcendental songs about Govinda, which nectarian songs about Govinda, which save us from the devouring mouth of liberation. And Srila Prabhupada did exactly that same thing. All his books, he said, every purport is his transcendental ecstasy. And it also has the same effect of a purifying us of this hridroga kama. So, Jiva Goswami backs up what he says here. Tvam tu bhagavateshwaham. Krishna tells Uddhava in chapter 16, text 29 of the 11th canto, of all the devotees, I am you. Just like we have in Bhagavad Gita, many, many versions of the same thing. Aham bharatu rajaskaraha. I'm the confidential servant of my master. This is from this chapter, actually, text 28. We've heard it already. Tam aha bhagavan preshtam bhaktam ekantinam kvachita. The Lord took the hand of his fully devoted, dearest friend, Uddhava. That's also from 10th canto, chapter 46, I think. And notavo nuabi manyunaha. Uddhava is not less than me. That he says from 3rd canto, chapter 4, text 31. So, this is Uddhava's position. Now, this Uddhava expresses a desire for the gopis' bhava. He does so to show them respect and to show humility. He never said such a thing to the queens in Dwarka. This is what we've heard already in the BBT purport. So, who then would not follow their lotus feet? Specifically, the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. This is Jiva Goswami's conclusion. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, much the same, but he adds to this that, let me offer my respects to the dust of the lotus feet of these cowherd women of the Vraj Dham continuously at every step. As long as I don't get a birth as a blade of grass, then let me continuously offer my obeisances in the present body that I have. But actually my aspiration, we've already heard, is to take birth as a blade of grass or some herb or creeper, because there's some chance that I'll get a little particle of dust from the gopis' lotus feet. This is what Uddhava was so impressed by his experience here in Vrindavan, actually over by Nandagram. And so this is what he said. This was his actual, this was his conclusion. The phrase pararinam abhikshnashah, the suffix sha indicates perpetually, not just three times a day or maybe five times a day, all the time. So this is, the rest he says, he's just reiterates the same things that we've heard already from Jiva Goswami. Now, we have a couple of verses from Bilvamangala Thakur that illustrate this character of the gopis, specifically how they're glorifying Krishna. Uttaya gopyo apararatra bhoge smritya yashoda sudha balake nim gayanti prochair dahinirma mantyo govinda damodara madhaveti. It means, having risen early in the morning, the gopis recall the childhood pastimes of Yashoda's son, and they, as they churn butter, and they loudly sing Govinda Damodara Madhava in the same way. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, ityadi. So, we have in some readings of that verse, the time, Kale is used instead of Prochai here in today's verse. It's described also. They chanted these things very loudly. So, anyway, Vaishnava Acharyas advise that we follow in the footsteps of these gopis, meditate on their activities in order to attain the perfection of Krishna consciousness. And the preceding verses, before Udgayati Nama Ravinda Lochanam, they beautifully depict a scene just like this. The cowherd, women of the cowherd village rose from bed and lighting lamps, worshipped their household deities. Then they began churning the yogurt into butter. As they pulled on the churning ropes with their bangled arms, the women of Raja shone with the splendor of their jewels, which reflected the lamplight. Their hips, breasts, and necklaces moved about, and their faces, anointed with reddish kumkum, glowed radiantly with the luster of their earrings reflecting from their cheeks. So then we get this verse, as the ladies of Raja loudly sang the glories of lotus-eyed Krishna, their songs blended with the sound of their churning, ascended into the sky and dissipated all inauspiciousness in all directions. Where is it auspicious in Vrindavan? Inauspicious? Anything? Never. Everything is auspicious. So how is it dissipating inauspiciousness in all directions? Because it's coming down to this world. And how is it coming down? There are conduits of that Harikatha. That would be us. At least ideally we have to follow in the footsteps of our predecessors, especially Srila Prabhupada, and preach Krishna consciousness far and wide as much as possible. Then the three worlds will be purified. This is the parampara system. A similar verse by Bhava Mangala Thakur, elsewhere he says, Gayanti kshanada virama samaye sanandamindu prabham randhantyo nijadanta kanti nivahir gopangana gokule madhyanto dadhipani kankana jana kara nurupam jvalvyalgad Vyasananjana, Vasananjala Yamanisham Pitamburo Vyatsanaha. Churning at the end of night, the women in Gokula blissfully sing. The moon's brilliance is rebuffed by the collective luster of their teeth, while the ends of their garments dance as their jingling bangles keep time. May that Krishna dressed in yellow, to whom they sing, always protect us. Beautiful prayer. Bilva Mangal Thakur. Now back to his Govinda Damodar Stotram, he says, a famous verse you may know, some of you. Vikretu kama kila gopa kanya murari padarpita chitta vrittihi didhyadikam mohavashada vochad Govinda Damodar Madhaveti. One gopi, she wanted to sell milk products, but she was so absorbed in thinking of murari that instead of calling out, Dahi, Dud, Ityadi, she was calling out in her confusion of love, Govinda, Damodara, Madhava. So, this provides a good example of not only Bilva Mangala Thakur's devotional poetry, but also the depth of the gopi's attachment to Krishna. In this world, our minds are always absorbed in so many materialistic thoughts, isn't it? Aren't we thinking about money a lot of the time? Or maybe we're thinking about, you know, eating, or maybe we're angry with something, or we're greedy, or lusty, or whatever the manifestation of our heart disease is. We're always absorbed in that, and that's why we suffer so much in this world. I don't know about here in India, but the statistics in North America show that most people are suffering not from physical ailments. They're suffering from psychological problems. You can see it. It comes from too much sense gratification. Just live a normal life and you'll become sane and tranquil, like a cool pond. Light of the Bhagavata says, just like a yogi's mind is clean and pure, just like a pond in the Sharad season. There's no mud at that time. It's all very clear. Our minds can be like this, but we have to live a proper life. The reason people are so agitated all the time is because they're not living properly. This goes all the way back to the Upanishads, that famous passage which Srila Prabhupada paraphrases in the first canto, that you can't be pure in character unless you're pure in thought. You cannot be pure in thought unless you're pure in activity. You cannot be pure in activity unless you're pure in your habits, like eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and to purify those things. What do we call that? We call it sanskriti, I've already mentioned. In other words, it's called dharma. To be a human being, what is it? Hitopadesh tells us, dharmasya hina pashupisamana. Without this, you're an animal. Maybe dvipada pashu instead of quadruped, but it's animal life. So our minds are absorbed in so many muddy things. According to Patanjali Rishi, yoga practice is meant to clear the mind. Anybody know this one sutra? Yoga sutra? Yoga chitta vritti nirodhaha. Yoga means to still the craziness of the mind. And anyway, we can say more things about that. I'm going to summarize here. The gopis' minds are already free from so many contaminations, mundane thoughts. They're naturally fixed upon Krishna as their only interest. Not their main interest, their only interest. That is what makes them special. They're completely, always, and by any and every means, absorbed in Krishna. That is why we worship them. In Padyavali, Rupa Goswami has similarly depicted this kind of detachment. Dina dau murade, nisha dau murade, dinarte murade, nisharte murade, dinante murade, nishante murade, tvam ego gatirnastvam, eko gatirnaha. At the start of the day, there's only murari. They're absorbed in murari. At the end of the day, murari. Halfway through the day, murari. Midnight, murari. And the end of the day and the end of the night, murari, murari. You're our only goal. You're our only goal. This is what the gopis are thinking. So such a condition here is stated with the words, murari padarpita chitta vrittihi. Remember what I just quoted from Yoga Sutra? Those who are sharp, you've heard the same vocabulary, haven't you? Yoga chitta vritti nirodhaha. And here she's saying, murari padarpita chitta vritti. I like Bilba Mangala Thakur, you may have noticed. So elsewhere he says, you can have stern thought in philosophy. You have to be a little harsh when you're talking philosophy. Just like in business. You can't be so scrupulous. You can have stern thought to philosophy. You can give sensitive thought to literature. You need to be soft when it comes to literature. And you can give ceaseless thought to your duty only when you have incessant thought on Krishna. This is his philosophy. Bhagavata philosophy. So, the gist is that even while they're selling milk products, even while they're milking cows, churning butter, caring for children, cleaning, preparing cow dung fuel, and other than routine activities, the fortunate women of Vraja sing about Krishna, and they do so with profound feeling. Bhava samanvitaha, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Because their minds are wholly given to him. And this verse says as much. So, Uddhava's is often considered Krishna's greatest devotee, but he expresses his devotion as follows. When you, the Supreme Soul, are most dear to us, we are your devotees, so how can we possibly reject you or live without you even for a moment? Whether we're lying down, sitting, walking, standing, bathing, enjoying recreation, eating, drinking, or doing anything else, we are constantly engaged in your service. That's at the end of Canto, chapter 6, text 45. But when Uddhava came here to Vrindavan, at Krishna's request, he was so amazed at their pure devotion that he too felt compelled to simply offer his obeisances not to their lotus feet, but to the dust at their lotus feet. And then that brings us to today's verse. So, citing so many authoritative references in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami has also conclusively shown that of all Krishna's innumerable devotees, the most dear and intimate are the gopis of Rajatam, and especially Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Lord Chaitanya therefore taught, Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadhu vargena ya kalpita. That mode of worship which was conceived of and executed by the gopis That is the topmost worship in his opinion. There is no mode of worship so exalted as theirs. So Vaishnavas worship the lotus feet of these gopis, or following in Uddhava's footsteps, we rather worship the dust of the lotus feet of these gopis, in particular Srimati Radharani. We humbly consider ourselves to be merely the servants of the servants of their servants, Gopi Bhartu Parakamalayor Dasa Dasanu Dasa. Kulashekarwar, he said, seven times removed. Twad Britya Britya Paricharaka Britya 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 Si Britya. Iti Mam Smarana Lokanatha. Consider me like this. So, let us all offer our humble obeisances unto Srimati Radharani and her friends, and to all the women in Vraja, and to Uddhava who appreciated them, and to all of our acharyas who are sharing this knowledge with us, and to Srila Prabhupada who brought it directly to our doorstep, and unto all the Vaishnavas by whose blessings we can actually realize any of this. That's our task in this life. So, time to stop here, but if anybody has any questions or any comments, we have 1 minute left. Kshuti Prabhu single-handedly was preaching in South Africa at the age of 17. By his grace, so many South Africans know about Krishna consciousness. He didn't plan on going there. It was Krishna's plan, but he did tremendous service for Srila Prabhupada, and we're honored to hear him speak something. Yes.
Not educating others. It may amaze you, but not everybody in the world applies that. Even many devotees don't know it. But it's such a good way to think before they speak. Even somehow the Rotary Club uses this for their model of speech. I don't know how it came to them, but it's such an obvious way to speak.
Well, it's obvious if you're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, because this is another one of the points that Krishna addresses in that very same passage. The problem is that people don't read Prabhupada's books, and that leads to all the problems. And if you take it far enough, and you are neglectful to that degree, then eventually you'll raise your hand and say, did you really believe that people are going to accept this? Yeah. There's a joke about that. Bhagavad Gita yatharup, as it is, shrink wrapped. Just leave it as it is. This is the mentality. And it's I hate to say it, it's all over the world, and even Srila Prabhupada used to complain about it. And that's why we're so much appreciative of His Holiness Brihadbhagavatamrita Swami, who is pushing on this point of hearing from Srila Prabhupada every day. If you don't have your little drive yet, you talk to him and get it. You can get all of Prabhupada's lectures, all of his conversations, sab kuch, you can get. And at least you can talk, you can hear. I have a godbrother who has taken this a little seriously, and he says that whenever he's not doing some work that requires intense concentration, then he just leaves it playing all day long. And the result is that he's hearing Prabhupada for at least, with concentration, for at least 4 or 5 hours a day. If you're associated with Srila Prabhupada for 4 or 5 hours a day, hearing what he has to say, nobody's going to pull the wool over your eyes with some deviant philosophy or whatever. I mean, this is what it takes. Little intensity. It's called Tivra Bhakti in the second canto. Intensity. You have to be a little intense if you want to go somewhere. So we hear, and we hear, and we hear. Tatrino, by some accounts, this is the one verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, that Srila Prabhupada spoke on more than any other, because it's what we need to hear. And Prabhupada, so many times we know that he said, we think these books are for selling, not for reading. But devotees like Maharaj and Vaisheshika also, Prabhu, and so many, you know, a few of them, they're really pushing on the need to hear from Srila Prabhupada. So, yeah, you have to open the books. Like when my mother was in the hospital, the nurses used to tease her because she was not taking her medicine. And they told her that, no, it doesn't do the same thing if you just look at it. You have to actually take the medicine. So Prabhupada's books are also like that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
That's Mandal Purim is also.